It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast all around the world. We greatly appreciate you. Make sure you check out the website, CannabisTalk101.com, as we are the world's number one source for everything cannabis, and call us up anytime. 800-420-1980 is that number. Make sure you check out our Instagram pages for daily news, learn the script, and so much more that we have to offer you guys on these sites at Cannabis Talk 101, at Pot underscore Brothers underscore at underscore Law. Mark is at Waslaw. Craig is at Waslaw Dog. My man Blue is at One Christopher Wright, and I am at Joe Grande 52. And you know, before we get started, there's so many things of how to grow weed, how to do this, how to do that. Bottom line, Mark, if you're going to grow some cannabis, it starts with one thing, and that one thing first is mandatory every time. And what is that?
Seeds, baby. Seeds.
And where do you get the seeds, Mark, that you want to plant for cannabis?
Well, if you are looking for high-quality seeds, head to rocketseeds.com or on Instagram at rocket underscore seeds for trusted cannabis seeds. Rocket Seeds is a trusted source for thousands of quality cannabis seeds at fair prices. Head to rocketseeds.com.
Yes, you do. And Mark, you know, you just came back not too long ago from visiting the East Coast, and apparently you were at Zaza Dispensary in Queens in New York. When we spoke with you, you seemed to be having a blast out there. I need you to walk me through this trip, dog. I mean, first off, what were you exactly doing in New York?
Okay.
Why'd you guys go?
So Pot Brothers at Law were contracted by CannaCon to do our performance seminar, The Etiquette of Engaging Law Enforcement, How to Shut the Fuck Up When Cops Ask Questions.
Oh, so you guys did a seminar out there?
Yes, we did our, we get booked at these things to do our seminars on Saturday from 1 to 2. That's what our contract says we must do. And that's what we do now, because we always like to go and be above and beyond for the people that bring us out to educate. We hang around the show floor, we walk around. But when we go to these different places like Oklahoma, Chicago, and Detroit, we try to get out there and see what's going on in the cannabis space so we can report back and see how adult use and medicinal compares to California and all, you know, everything that's happening. And it's always quite interesting. And usually there's a little bit of things going on that we can poke at and find that's different from California. But New York is its own animal, its own ecosystem. And that's just, that's not, not just to say New York. Let's get into the five boroughs, and each of those boroughs have their own ecosystem when we're talking about how, in the cannabis business and how, in the cannabis space, how it works. Now, when I got there, when I was told we were going out there, the first thing I did was call our good buddy Vladimir Bautista with Happy Monkey, who we've had on the show several times. Good friend.
Great guy. Good brother.
And we know Happy Monkey and Vlad have been very instrumental in all the goings on of cannabis regulation, social equity, consumption lounge, everything that's happening in New York. Vlad has had a hand in making sure it happens with some kind of fairness for everybody and the legacy market that's been out there for the longest time. When I told him I was coming out, he said, "No problem, Mark. I'm going to have Lewis pick you up and show you around." I said, "Okay, great." Lewis was like, "Vlad's brother. I'm Vlad's brother. Me and Lewis, we're going to be brothers."
And did they take you to this event? What is it called? The what expo again?
No, it's CannaCon. And so I get to my hotel that Wednesday and I call Vlad. "Yeah, Lewis is going to pick you up. He'll take you to dinner somewhere." Lewis picks me up in a nice big, you know, Escalade. I had my own private driver. They had a guy who was the driver. Char was his name. And, you know, he was very low key. And all these guys are in their family, you know, family with Happy Monkey. Therefore, family with us. And not only did this guy take me to dinner, but he said, "Mark, what do you want to see?" you know, there's a lot going on in the cannabis space. And I said, Lewis, I want to see everything. I want to know. I heard they're selling on the streets here. I've heard a lot of things. I want to go and see. And he said, well, let's go. Where do you want to go first? I go, I'm here. Take me. So we hit Queens. We hit Dyckman. We hit Washington Heights. We hit all the boroughs except Staten Island. We didn't make it to Staten Island. But every place we went, I saw different forms of cannabis businesses. Now, let's preface it. When it passed for adult use in New York, it went crazier than it did in California, because you have people who just started, they're already selling on the streets, right?
Right.
But now they're really selling on the streets, and there's no regulations.
No consequences whatsoever.
No, apparently not, because now let me say this. In California, when adult use passed and we had that, we were waiting for the regulations, you had people doing shit, but they were in their back of their house. They were in a basement. They were, you know, somewhere in a warehouse. They were hiding a little bit.
Right.
Here in New York, a guy who might have had his setup in his apartment went from his apartment right to the street. And when you're driving in these different boroughs and different projects in different areas of New York, you look down a street and you'll see a pop-up tent. And it's like a swap meet.
So I want you to break down during this show each borough that you went to, talk about the uniqueness, talk about the experience as we get into what was the first borough that you went to?
Queens.
And let me ask you, and this is going to sound silly, but were you nervous at all?
No, I was not. Here's why. I'll tell you why. And I was told, Mark, you're going to places where people don't go. They're not invited. But Queens, the projects, the streets of New York love the Pop Brothers at Law.
Oh, really? So you felt the love right away?
Oh, my God. I'm still, when I think about how I was just on the streets and guys were just coming up, or either coming up to us, or in some of the spots where I was at, it was very low key. And after we left, the guys I was with were like, those guys were bursting at the scene. They couldn't believe you were standing there in front of them, talking to them, and they were just trying to respect you. And I mean, yeah, so wherever I went, and more than once or twice, some guys who I'm sure could protect me let me know, anybody looks at you sideways, any, you know, you let us know. But you know what? It's
always nice to have that.
But yeah, but it just wasn't going to happen, because there was so much love from everywhere we went. So we're in Queens, and I'm noticing, I see the tent, and they say, yeah, they're selling right there. And there's a cardboard sign, says, you know, top shelf strength, and it just has the menu. And
on a cardboard box.
Yes.
And weed out in, was it like duffel bags? Was it in containers? Was it in glass jars? Paint the picture for me.
There's different models. So you know what? I'll walk you through like the basic. What I would
do. The Queens, the first one, that's what I'm saying. Walk me through this transition of you're in the East Coast.
Okay, the first thing I saw was a kid on a, literally on a corner.
When you say kid, give me a better age group than kid.
All right, that's fair enough. Early 20s.
Okay.
Early 20s.
Okay.
On a corner in front of a fire hydrant. Up against the fire hydrant was a cardboard sign that said top shelf strains and had prices, 20, 40, 60. And somebody would come up to this kid. They'd blah, blah, blah. And I was watching this. I was actually in the car as we were cruising through, and we were at a stoplight, and I was watching this. And I saw somebody come up, ask, point to the sign, they da, da, da. And then the kid looks to his left, goes like this. There's a minivan, like, I don't know, a block and a half down the street. It opens up, somebody gets out, brings a baggie, gives it to him, money's exchanged, gone. And then I look to the right, there's a cop just standing there, whatever. So I saw that. Then we get to a different area, and that's why I was describing the tent, right? A pop-up tent where it's like a swap meet and the table there, and right. They do have glass jars and it's all right there. But what's being displayed is not what you're buying. You're looking at it. I want that. It's the same setup though. Right over there is a van. And when you get what you want, somebody comes out of the van.
Did they bring it to you in a baggie? What did they bring it to you in?
Yeah. Yeah. Like in a white plastic bag, white paper bag, or a black plastic baggie is what I saw when they were doing that. Now, let me point out, as I'm just listening and observing, right? And these guys are dealing, and they're, you know, they're talking money and ace and this and whatever. And me and my brother were there, and we heard somebody go, "Holy shit, I can't believe it." And we look, and there was this older gentleman, probably in his mid-50s, who we would come to know as Buddha.
Okay.
And we would learn that Buddha ran that block.
Oh, really?
And Buddha really never, you don't really ever see him. It was crazy that he was out. And he came up to us and he said to me, "Do you believe in God?"
Uh-oh.
And you know what's funny? Joe, whenever anyone says that to me, my answer is, I don't know. And because that you can usually then get into a nice conversation about religion and whatever. But, and I don't know why, but something in me just made me say yes. And he said, "God, I can't fuck with you if you don't believe in God." And so this cat got out of jail 3 days or so before on a gun charge, saw our videos, and could not believe we were standing right in front of him. Wished we had made those videos 30 years ago. And we get into a discussion just about how the cannabis ecosystem in Queens, in all of these, in the projects, all these areas in New York that I went to, run, and how they've been able to make it work with the cops by cutting out. You have a couple of, what I've found, a couple of guys like him, another guy who runs a couple of blocks. They go to prison, they come out with all this knowledge, and then basically say, "Look, no felonies on this block. None of that shit. It's all cannabis. That's it.
So no more pushing crack, no more doing nothing heavy.
God, you do that somewhere else, not on this block." You know, and one of the guys we met, he's like, "I got out of jail, and to take over the block, you got to kill the guy who's running it."
Right.
Well, it was my friend. And, you know, other friends had killed other friends before. Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, this particular guy learned how to make up business plans in jail. In prison for 5 years, he found out that he had a kind of, you know, like a, I don't know, a special ability, knack. He figured it out. He wrote all this stuff up. And he came back out and said, "No more felonies. This is the way it is." And these guys have been running for like 20 years. And I don't blame him for not wanting to come out into the legal licensed shit, because they had it so wired. The show Wired. It was like reverse wired shit I was hearing, how he would have guys on the rooftops watching the cops, and they would see and know when a raid was going to happen. And when a raid was going to happen, these guys didn't shut down and hide. They moved and redid. Okay, they're coming this way. We got to go back. You know, if you've ever been to New York and those boroughs and the streets and everything is so just condensed, and it was fucking amazing.
So would you say that these guys on the corners were bud tenders?
Well, it depends which corner you're on.
In Queens?
It depends which corner on Queens too, because, you know, you have a lot of different blocks and a lot of different corners, and it's fucking everywhere. So there are some that they are very knowledgeable. No, then there's others that, I mean, they're just they're wheeling and dealing.
Well, you know, what I'm hoping for, Mark, is that you nominate some of these Bud Tenders, because the Bud Tenders Awards, created by G4 Live with the vision to be the most ambitious and essential cannabis event ever. Well, this show is designed for the people that want to take their business to the next level. It sounds like that's what they're doing there in New York. And guess what? If you're out in New York, you can join us as well in Las Vegas, May 11th and through the 14th, 2022 at the All New Resort World. Snoop Dogg and Travis Barker will be performing live together for the first time. If you don't go, you don't grow. It's Cannabis Talk 101. When we come back, more from Mark Wasserman from the Pop Brothers Outlaw, all the way live as he was out there representing on the East Coast. We'll be right back after this.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue Joe Grande and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pop Brothers at Law. You know what time it is, right, Mark?
Yes, I do. It's dime time. Think higher with Dime Industries. Find them in California, Arizona, and Oklahoma. Dime Industries has been a leading trusted source of clean and potent medicine using state-of-the-art hardware, including premium food-grade stainless steel, glass, ceramic plates, and enhanced battery life. The 1,000 milligram cartridges are amazing. I know, I use them. Check out the website, dimeindustries.com, or on Instagram, dime.industries.
So, Mark, you're talking about Queens, and is that pretty much sum it up with Queens? Because I want to get to these other boroughs that you've been to and that you were hanging out and representing, and what the differences was and were for you guys as you were out there. So where'd you go after Queens?
All right, so I was in Brooklyn. Brooklyn, and you know, I mean, it's really, it's this, what I describe those different business models is really, it's one corner next to a hydrant, a big tent that maybe takes up maybe 10 feet. And then you have guys
like a tent like, that you buy at like fucking Big Five, something like that. Like one of those.
Yeah, a pop-up tent with two, you know, that you would
like
see.
Like when we have a Cannabis Talk 101, when we go out, we just pop up our tents.
Right. And it just has a little tent with four things popping up and you're right there. And then you have guys.
Jennifer's doing that in La Puente. You know, that, I don't know if you know that, but Jennifer sells her shit like that out the tent.
And then you guys are just standing on the corner. I mean, like, and then you have Times Square. I know I'm jumbling it all up, but it's just, that's how it is. It's all jumbled up, whether you go to Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, Upper Manhattan, Lower Manhattan. So I was all over those places and I saw it everywhere. Now, my brother went to Times Square and they were doing it in Times Square. Walking up, guy was wearing a sandwich box, a sandwich cardboard thing, you know, weed store. Here, you know, and right in the middle of Times Square.
With cops all around looking at them, like cops within bird's eye view, you know the cops seen them.
Yep. And so now, you know, this is a conversation I have with a lot of guys out there because they're running wild. And so what I'm warning them of is, you know, that this ain't going to last forever. And once the regulations hit, you're going to see some house cleaning like you did in California. Now, I've talked about all that shit on the street and the pop-ups and all that. Now, we already did the one show when I was there about Zaza's in Queens.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Which is being put together by guys who have licenses in Oregon and California. And they're opening up shop. They're doing what the guys on the streets are doing because it's all illegal.
Well, let me ask you this. Were the guys on the streets, this is going to sound maybe silly, but were they checking IDs?
No, there were no IDs being checked.
So you could be selling cannabis to minors.
I didn't witness that. But, you know, I don't know what's going on with regards to that. But hey, you can assume, I suppose, that, you know, no one's looking out. Which is, you know, that's a problem. But you have guys like Mr. S and Lonnie the street lawyer, our buddy Lonnie.
Was Lonnie out there too?
Dude.
Did you run into him?
So Lonnie's doing what Mr. S is doing. So I'm out there. I get a message.
But I thought Lonnie was doing the buy my services. you know, buy a $70 pre-service and you can get a contribution of a bag of weed.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing what those other guys are doing. And, you know, like I said, it's balls. You said it. These guys got balls and ovaries because Lonnie has a woman partner and she got mad when I talked about big balls. So she has big ovaries. Nice. Ariana, shout out to Ariana out there who's running things and was less than forthcoming with my straightforward questions. But these guys, what they're doing, and they do have guts because it's not legal. There's no regulations. On a whim, at any moment, a cop, anybody, they could come and get busted. They could. What they're banking on is the regulations are coming. And I would have to, now I don't know for a fact, but I would have to imagine and hope, you know, guys like Mr. S and Ryan, these guys, maybe they have an ear in with the guys who are writing the regulations and what's coming and what's happening and saying, look, we did this in Oregon. We did this in California. We're doing it here. Do it like this. So those regulations now look like what these nice shops are like at Weed World. That's another one. Remind me, Weed World, I have to tell you about. And that's what they're doing. They're putting the cart before the horse, opening up and, you know, calling donations and whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Whatever they want to call it, they can call it. It's illegal and they are at risk. But maybe, you know, I hope nothing happens to these guys. They're doing it the way it should be done. And showing they've done it in other places, in other states, you know, why not?
Well, that's the cats at Zaza, right? And I've heard from, we've had Dubious on, and he was telling us that some things in the East Coast, exactly what you're saying, they're selling on the corners like that. But, I mean, how did that make you feel, Mark, honestly, when you seen these cats just selling from a cardboard box like that? I mean, did it make you feel anything?
I liked it. What I felt was, if the people who run things had, I don't know, any sense of morality and fairness and social justice, you figure out a way to take this 23-year-old kid who's got entrepreneurial savvy of some sort, you know, making the numbers work how they do and whatever they do and saying, here, let's get them in to this license.
That's a given. But let me play scenario advocate. Yeah. Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Your family's out there. You got the three kids and your wife and your middle son who is in junior high, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep, middle school.
Your junior high school and some other family friends are out there. He scores a bag of weed on the streets. Comes home and goes, look what I bought, Dad. Now, let me ask you the same question. How would you feel then?
Okay. Well, so number one, now we're getting into parenting.
Well, that's what I'm hearing. I don't hate to say this is what I'm thinking, but I hate to say this is what I'm thinking when you're describing all this. My parent hat comes on. My cannabis hat goes, oh, that's awesome. That's dope. That's so cool. That sounds so fun. But then my parent hat kicks in and goes, wait a minute. What happens with my fucking young kids? I'm watching young kids buy. I'm going to feel funny. So now I presented you with a different scenario. At first you said you didn't feel anything. Now I presented you with a hypothetical random scenario. Yeah. How do you feel now?
Well, now if I saw young kids around any of that, I would have a problem with it. And I didn't, you know, now that's not to say it doesn't happen, but that is a problem if there's accessibility.
I mean, just to be clear, I would have been one of those young kids that bought, you know, I started smoking weed at 6. And all the way through. So therefore, I would have been one of those kids that goes, oh my God, look at this cardboard box. I don't know how to read. I got $20 in my pocket. Let me get a little sack and I'm good to go. So that would have been a Joe Grande all day is my point behind that scenario.
And that's exactly why this ain't going to last, you know, very long, you know, but I agree with you that would be a problem now. Again, what I observed and witnessed, there was none of that. Now, the cops are there watching. So I would imagine if they saw a kid, a youth, I mean, I would hope the cops would then maybe do something.
You would hope.
But all week, I don't know. You know, it's just, it's so, it was just so wild to see it literally everywhere. You know, everywhere. It's just insane. And then in Weed World. Oh, so are you familiar with Bleecker Street in New York City?
No, I'm not. What is that? There?
Bleecker Street is, well, you know where Greenwich Village.
I've heard of it. Yeah. I'm not so hip on game of it though, but go
all
ahead.
Right. So that's like the artsy area and stuff in Bleecker Street. Now, when I used to go to New York every couple of years back in the 90s, I would be on Bleecker Street. 18 or 19 big bars right in a row. You go down to the basements for the jazz and all the fucking music shit and just the coolest spot, Bleecker Street. And you get drunk, right? So, you know, I go to Bleecker Street. We're walking up and down it. And I see something called Weed World. I go in. What is this place? And the guy happily says, it's an adult use marijuana store.
It's Weed World.
we can buy, you can buy it right here. I can give you a dab. Right, you're the dabbing lawyer, right? I can give you a dab right here. And they had a whole studio in the back, actually, this place called Weed World. They had a whole studio in the back. And the same thing, like these other guys, opening up shop, fucking right in the middle of everything and hoping that when the regulations come, they don't get sweet. You know, the first thing to go are going to be the guys on the street.
Right.
You know, are they going to come fuck up these guys who have spent all this money and trying to do it like they've done it in other places? They could. But it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out. I'm pulling for Lonnie. You know, we're actually talking about maybe doing a few things. But I give him, Sean, and all these other guys, everybody out there who is taking advantage of this situation where there apparently is no enforcement going on right now. And, you know, hey, as long as they're not hurting anybody, go make a buck. You know, I mean,
make a buck. Yeah. That's what they're doing out there. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We're going to come back more with Mark Wasserman, who was attending CannaCon in New York and witnessed the whole cannabis experience on the East Coast. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after this.
It's Cannabis Talk 101. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
Take a hit, get lit, and sit back and enjoy Cannabis Talk 101, your world's number one source for everything cannabis with Blue, Joe Grande, Mark and Craig, the Pop Brothers at Law. And Joe, man, New York City.
Well, and not only New York City, before we continue, Mark, I just want to thank all the wonderful people that helped this show make it what it is today. And we want to start with Jan, Erica, who can't see, but she could hear, Daniel, Cal, Irtazar, Christian, Denny, Kevin, Andrew, Zach, Cash, Cam, Salar, who's letting his hair grow because he wants to look like Dr. K, and Nadia, Ali, Gabrielle, Trayvon, Pitt, Chris Franchino, Jennifer, and Elvis. Thank you guys all for doing what you do that make this show happen. And for those of you that are looking for a nice experience, I want to remind you about Viscus Vape, the ultimate cannabis vape experience. Viscus is a premium vape brand born in good old Venice Beach, California, delivering the maximum potency you can expect from the Viscus brand. Live that ride with the most pleasant tasting, ultra potent, and smooth cartridges on the market. The website is viscus.life. Now, Mark, how did you wrap these boroughs up? I mean, you literally went to Times Square, you're in Manhattan, you're in Brooklyn, you're in Queens. How does this
wrap
the Bronx too? I mean, and did you get this feel? Because when I've been out to the East Coast, have not hit the boroughs like that. I have not hit corners like that, which I'm sad that I haven't done that. I've only gone out there for events, meaning I'm at Madison Square Garden for the fight. I'm out in New Jersey for the NBA Finals. Yeah,
missed
exactly.
Out.
Don't get me wrong. Let me play my little piano and you know, my poor me little flute here. But my point is, I've never had those experience of hitting corners and hoods like that. I only got to go out there to experience the big venues and big events because I was working and my time didn't allow me. extra time. I didn't get paid to go to CannaCon with all this extra time on my hands to go hang out at different places. I was strapped with this event, that, you know what I mean? And then back on the plane to come back home. So that being said though, Mark, I'm always curious, did you feel this like Boogie Down production feel of hip hop? And I know you got an old hip hop backbone too. So, you know, did you feel that Sugar Hill Gangy, that even though it's all these new school, young school cats.
Oh, you know,
were they still rocking the Timbs in the cold weather and the big parka jackets? And was there music coming out of houses and neighborhoods? And did you feel this like Beach Street vibe? Because when I think of these areas, I mean, I know they all been regentrified and they're not Beach Street anymore, but you know, I think of Ramo being painted on the side of the wall and shit like that just gets me to this East Coast vibe of, you know, listening to my radio, believe me, I like it real loud. I'm the man with the box that can rock the crowd, walking down the street to the hardcore beat. What my JVC's vibrates the concrete. If you don't know who that is, that's the old LL Cool J from the GOAT himself talking about the streets of New York and doing it. So did you feel anything like that?
Yes.
There as well.
But how could I not when I'm being shown around by a guy whose best friend is Crazy Legs?
Oh, Crazy Legs. We were just talking about Crazy Legs, weren't we, yesterday on the other
New York City Breakers. What
are we talking with that? Doobie was talking. Doobie is good friends with Crazy Legs as well.
See, who's great, right? And that Lewis, my guy Lewis, out there showing me. And I was, and everywhere I went, whether it was the Bronx or Manhattan, Uptown, Dyckman, Inwood, I was like, I noticed spots and was like, wait a minute, isn't that where they shot this part of Beach Street? You know, and then the L train goes by and, you know, all that stuff. And yeah, it's still there. It's you soak it in. And hey, I was on the corner of 193rd and Broadway in Washington Heights, spitting the slam poem right in the middle of 1 a.m. in the morning during something called All Smoke Podcast that I did because I was hanging around Lewis and he kept getting hit up by his guys in all these different boroughs. Hey, I see you're hanging around with Pop Brothers at Law. Bring them over. Bring them here. I went to somewhere and I smoked a 3-pound joint or something.
You said a 3-pound joint?
Yeah, it was a huge. They were doing it. They rolled it, put it up. I went. I was, I think that was in Dyckman. And then the Washington Heights on the street corner. This was cool. I did the slam poem. And right in the middle of it, woo, woo, sirens and a cop floats right by.
No way.
And I worked it in. I worked it in to what I was throwing down. It was fucking awesome. And people, you know, were stopping on the corner watching. You know, and it was great. And then you go into the grocery stores, you know, and they have whatever you need and, you know, tea, bagels, whatever it is. And they have a spot that's their store that, you know, it's like a Grand Central location. You need something that you need to meet. This is where we're going to hook up on at this corner store, you know? And so that whole vibe and just the culture of that whole area and the vibe coming out from the streets. And I've hooked up a young Flo Graham, this kid rapper who was just amazing, you know? And a lot of these guys that I met who have done their, you know, whether it's 5 or 10 years in prison are now out here really trying to keep these kids away from everything else. And so that's why the next time we go out to New York on gigs, we're setting up seminars in the projects and community centers for these kids who they unfortunately have to deal with the cops every fucking day.
Really?
You know, we've been, that still goes on, you know, that still goes on. And these kids these days out there, they're more of, you know, step off, you know, not, they got to learn, shut the fuck up. Just don't do anything. We can take care of it. You know, got to cool them down. I saw a lot of that. And a lot of these older cats, you know, getting a hold of them and showing them this is the way to do it, you know, and it was a real eye opener for me. Real wild.
I'm glad you went out there. And how was CannaCon, the whole experience?
You know, it was great. Unfortunately, of course, there was, you know, it was affected by COVID and it wasn't as big as they usually are. But our seminar was sold out. People all standing room only, lining the walls. We have a great time doing the script challenge. And the business of cannabis and the different vendors that you see coming out to these CannaCons all over the country are remarkable. And it's just growing. And we're going next, March 31st and April 1st, Oklahoma City CannaCon. We'll be out there doing our seminar, meeting and greeting, and just, you know, bringing the education along with the entertainment and the advocacy for breaking the stigma and let this cannabis business and industry just continue to explode and blow up all over the place. So expos like CannaCon and G4 Live that are bringing the businesses out and showing what they're worth and showing how good it could be, they're just, it's phenomenal, and we're glad to be a part of it.
Well, Mark, I'm glad you're a part of it. I'm glad you're out there doing what you do for the community. I'm glad you went out there and represented with the five boroughs in the East Coast. And God willing, you'll be out there again, and we're all out there together doing our thing. It's Cannabis Talk 101. Remember this. If nobody else loves you,
we do.
That's right, baby.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.